It's 64 degrees in Richland Center on this Monday afternoon, November 4th. Good afternoon. It's 64 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07 for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulatz. The U.S. Department of Justice will be at Wisconsin locations on Election Day. The Justice Department announced Friday that it plans to monitor compliance with federal voting rights laws in 86 jurisdictions in 27 states. In Wisconsin, those are the cities of Milwaukee and Wausau and the rest county towns of Lawrence and Thornapple. DOJ sued both towns over allegations of failing to provide voting machines accessible to people with disabilities. Thornapple is currently appealing a federal injunction requiring it to bring an accessible voting machine back for tomorrow's election. The mayor of Wausau is unilaterally moved the city's ballot drop box after discovering it was not properly bolted to the ground. It was later returned for use, but the Wisconsin Department of Justice is investigating. This election could help determine short and long-term control of the Wisconsin legislature. UW La Crosse Associate Political Science Professor Anthony Tchaikovsky says a new legislative maps have opened the possibility for Democrats to flip seats in the legislature. However, Tchaikovsky says if Republicans maintain control in the Assembly, it could mean problems for Democrats in 2026. Even with new district maps, Republicans are certain to maintain a majority in the state Senate, where they currently hold a 22-10 edge over Democrats. Both Wisconsin candidates for U.S. Senate are campaigning across the state today. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger Eric Hovde have a full schedule. Baldwin will be in Green Bay, Oshkosh, Stevens Point, and Milwaukee. On the last two stops, she'll be at events with Governor Tim Walz. Meanwhile, Hovde is also focusing on the eastern half of the state. He's in Manitowoc, Racine County, Sheboygan, and Waukesha. Voters across Wisconsin will decide on 140 school referendum questions posted by 121 different districts for a total of over $4.2 billion. Several of those will be on ballots right here in the Cooley, or right in the Cooley region, La Crosse, Sparta, Tomah, and West Salem, seeking tens of millions of dollars for facilities projects. Meanwhile, Ithaca, Viroqua, DeSoto, Lafarge, and Royal are each pursuing operational referendums to help pay for staff and programming to cover budget deficits. Administrators say a large part of the problem is the state funding formula. Revenue limits are based on lowering property taxes, but not how much money school districts need. Schools got inconsistent increases in their revenue limits starting in 2012. Some years, funding per student didn't go up at all, and money from the state has not kept up with inflation. The election is tomorrow. Do not wear that MAGA hat or Kamala shirt to the polls when you go to vote. Lisa Hale reports.
When people are passionate about their candidate, they tend to wear that passion via garb, a t-shirt, a hat, and or campaign buttons. Megan Wolf, the chief elections official in Wisconsin.
So if somebody does come in with some type of political hat or shirt or other display of a position on the ballot, they're going to be asked to not come in with that on to potentially change it.
Wolf says any display of support for a candidate or for a position on the ballot is considered electioneering and is not allowed at the polls.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles will extend hours at customer service centers today and tomorrow. DMV service centers will remain open until 6. The extended hours will enable those needing a photo ID, frequently those who are new to the state, time to visit a DMV. Wisconsin's general election is tomorrow, and voters who don't already have a Wisconsin driver license, ID, or other form of identification needed to vote may still get a Wisconsin ID from the DMV. The Wisconsin Elections Commission website explains the options for IDs to show at the polls. There is no separate voter ID, and a federally compliant real ID card is not required for voting purposes. There are documentation requirements, such as a birth certificate, proof of identity, and Wisconsin residency to obtain an official Wisconsin ID card. The voter should bring any documentation available to the DMV and fill out two forms. DMV's website has a locator to find the nearest DMV and check wait times. A photo ID document will be sent via overnight mail that may be taken to the polls and used for voting. Completing a provisional ballot may be an option until the photo ID document arrives. DMV offers ID cards for voting purposes to U.S. citizens free of charge. DMV's toll-free hotline at 844-588-1069 is available for questions on obtaining an ID for voting purposes. Questions regarding voter eligibility, poll locations, voter registration information, or other election information may be found on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website, elections.wi.gov. Gas prices have fallen 2.8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state is 2.84 today. This is over 16 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 29 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say no matter who wins the election, gas prices are likely to stay much lower than in previous years with the surge from COVID and Russia's war on Ukraine. Wisconsin officials say nearly 55,000 pounds of unused or expired medications were collected around the state for Drug Take Back Weekend. The event took place over the last weekend of October, giving residents a chance to get rid of their unused or unwanted medications to reduce the risk of opioid addiction. According to the Wisconsin Department of Justice, this fall's take back total was slightly lower than last spring's and about 5,000 pounds lower than last fall's. Officials are waiting for national numbers to see where Wisconsin ranked. The Vernon County Board of Supervisors last month voted to move forward with a management agreement with Bethany St. Joseph Corporation for Vernon Manor in Vernon Acres effective December 2nd. The vote results were 17 in favor, 1 no, and 1 absent. With this management agreement, Vernon County will maintain ownership of these facilities while BSJ will manage daily operations, continuing to provide quality care and services to residents. This management agreement provides various benefits for Vernon Manor and Vernon Acres, some of which includes the capacity to reinvest in buildings over time, enhanced purchasing power, the opportunity to leverage buying power with suppliers and contracts, improved pricing and contract agreements, volume discounts, career development and educational opportunities for employees, and marketing support from the corporation. Bethany St. Joseph Corporation has 39 years of experience with government management agreements. In January 1985, BSJ began management agreements with the cities of Galesville and Westby to manage Morinuka Manor, a 50-bed skilled nursing home, and Northland Nursing Home, a 59-bed skilled nursing home. BSJ is excited to continue to preserve the essential role of rural nursing homes and bring their industry expertise to Vernon Manor and Vernon Acres. Through their non-for-profit approach, BSJ is committed to advancing Vernon County's mission to improve the quality of life for residents while working to inspire life, hope, and healing through exceptional care, devoted staff, and an uplifting home-like atmosphere. For residents, the management agreement will only build from the quality care they have been receiving at these facilities. The Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified Saturday morning at around 12:30 of a disturbance. The disturbance was on Southwest Lane in the township of Platteville. It was reported that Gerald Moon, age 50, had possibly armed himself with a rifle and was standing on a rooftop. Prior to the arrival of responding officers, it was found that Moon had fled on foot from the residence. A short time later, Moon returned to the residence and barricaded himself in the second-story loft of a nearby shed. Crisis negotiators from Southwest Wisconsin Emergency Response Team attempted to get Moon to surrender. After approximately a four-hour standoff, OC spray was used to obtain compliance. Moon was ultimately taken into custody on a warrant for two outstanding charges for domestic violence that Moon failed to appear in court for. Additional charges for this incident are pending. No injuries were reported. A sentence of life in prison awaits a Janesville man who police say fatally shot his ex-girlfriend when she told him she was pregnant. On Friday, Rock County Judge Jeffrey Kuglich accepted a guilty plea from 23-year-old Logan Barclay in the April death of 22-year-old Kirsten Hansen. Barclay is scheduled to be sentenced on February 11th, at which point attorneys will be able to argue if he will ever be eligible for supervised release. Barclay allegedly went on a walk with 22-year-old Kirsten Hansen in Janesville the night of April 16th and then shot her in the stomach over an argument about her possibly being pregnant again. The holidays may still be a couple of months away, but it's never too early to donate or update your calendar for the annual Smiles for Child Toy Drive. Co-organized by the Ithaca Lions Club and Ombre's Motorcycle Club, Smiles for a Child distributes gifts and toys every December to children and families. Deb O'Connell is with the Ithaca Lions Club.
We want the information to go out because it's so important that when we send those applications, they can pick them up at Sun County Social Services. They need to get back in on time because it goes very quickly once those applications come in. We only have a couple of weeks to actually get and fulfill those gifts for the children, and that goes really fast. And so it's important for us to get the information out so that the people bring their applications, pick them up, and bring them back in on time.
For families in need of assistance this year, applications for Smiles for a Child will be available at Richland County Health and Human Services in Richland Center.
For the applications that are going to go over to the social services, that will be November 11th we're going to start. And then my last pickup will be on the 27th, which is the day before Thanksgiving. Last year we went until Monday after Thanksgiving, but to be honest, there's Black Friday that comes up. It's a good day for shopping and getting deals. And so I kind of hope to get all the applications in before. And that's why it is important to get the word out early so that people don't tell me that I didn't know anything about it right before the event occurs.
Smiles for a Child has been distributing toys in Richland Center area for over 3 decades and will again help many area families in need this holiday season. Gifts are available for children from infant to 18 and are geared towards the child's interests.
Once the parent receives the application, on the bottom part of it, they're asked to put in choices of what the child might like. I think usually it's just two choices, but it gives us an idea of what the child is interested. We need to know the age, you know, male, female. And then I fill out a little form for when we shop. It just has the number, not even the name is on there. And we go shopping and fill it out for what they would like, you know. We try to follow and use the parents' guidelines when we go shopping for the child. And there's a distribution time, so they will be able to pick up the toys on December 14th at the community center. So we've always done a drive-through since COVID, and that has worked out very well, so continue to do that.
Enjoy some pre-holiday fun and help out Smiles for a Child this Sunday at Julie Karen State Farm Insurance's Rockin' Reindeer Party from noon to 2 in downtown Richland Center. The event is one of several fundraisers used to support Smiles for a Child.
There are events that are coming up. Certainly, we'd like them to participate in some of our fundraisers. So we want to earn money as well for Smiles for a Child. Julie Cairns is having her an event coming up, her reindeer events, so that's in November. But if they want to just donate money, they can do it at the WCCU. Any of the banks that are WCCU, they can drop it off and under the Smiles for a Child account. We have a separate account for that. There are also barrels that are put out in the banks that'll be coming up. We'll let people know when that is. And there are lots of businesses that super participated last year. I can't tell you how generous our community is in providing both money and toys towards this event. And they came up. And from what I understand, they are also going to participate this year.
Applications for the Smiles for a Child Toy Drive will be available Monday, November 11th and must be turned in by Wednesday, November 27th. Toys will be available for pickup on Saturday, December 14th at the Richland Center Community Center. New toys can be donated. Monetary donations for Smiles for a Child are welcome anytime and can be dropped off at WCCU. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources encourages the public to report any black bear den locations across Wisconsin to help with an ongoing study on black bear reproduction. The Black Bear Litter and Diet Survey will generate new estimates of black bear reproductive rates within each bear management zone, and these estimates will improve the accuracy of the population models used in each zone. Additionally, researchers are investigating a connection between consumption of human food sources and bear reproduction since diet can affect cub survival rates and litter sizes. The study will be entering its fourth year of surveying occupied dens in the Wisconsin Bear Range. The research team will take den reports statewide, but is looking for more dens to survey in bear management zones C, D, and E, which cover central and western Wisconsin. The public is encouraged to report as much information as possible about occupied black bear dens without approaching or disturbing them. Public reporting is essential to this project. Bear dens aren't frequently found, so it is important that people report them to the DNR when they do. Reporting dens helps the DNR meet the sample size requirements for the study and increases the accuracy of the black bear population estimate. Helpful information to report to the bear research team includes GPS coordinates, a photo of the den, ideally showing it in a relation to its surroundings from a safe distance, a description of the site and surrounding area, any information on the bear and bear activity near the site. DNR staff will collect biological data from these dens, including sex, age, weight, and body measurements. Mother bears or sows will be outfitted with a GPS collar. Collars help staff learn more about bear foraging behavior and locate the sows in the following years. Revisiting the sows will help staff determine the reproductive success of each sow, such as her litter frequency, litter size, and the survival rates of the cubs. The Black Bear Litter and Diet Survey team will continue to survey dens for the next 4 to 5 years. Over that time, the team hopes to get 100 collars out across the bear management zones, with approximately 20 collars per zone. To report a known black bear den, visit the DNR's Black Bear Den submission form. The Riverdale High School Drama Club will perform its one-act play, When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors, in the Little Theater at the high school Thursday night at 7. The play, written by Ian McWethy and Jason Pizzarello, tells the story of a high school troupe producing a one-act version of The Wizard of Oz while their director has been absent for much of the rehearsal process. While the students are doing their best to create a wonderful show, the resulting play is a mess. Cast and crew members include Braylee Bedward, Ben Bremer, Vivian Benedict, Sienna Deglow, Archer Imhoff, Delaney Imhoff, Ezra Noble, Cadence McGraw, Adrian Rush, Abe Schaefer, Alex Schneider, Hayden Wolf, Nora Wolf, Movana Sarbach, Destiny Bonds, Brandon Meese, and Electra Justham. The show is appropriate for all ages, and there will be no admission charge. The play is produced by special arrangement with stage partners. Serve Wisconsin is now accepting applications for two Volunteer Generation Fund grant programs. These grants are designed to help organizations recruit, train, engage, manage, and sustain volunteers. This funding is made possible through grants from AmeriCorps and the Volunteer Generation Fund aimed at promoting volunteerism. The first opportunity offers grants ranging from $5,000 to $20,000 to enhance volunteer programs within community-based organizations. Serve Wisconsin invites applications from nonprofit organizations, Indian tribes, local government schools, institutions of higher education, and state agencies. These grants can be used to support volunteer recruitment, engagement, training, days of service, or disaster preparedness training. Serve Wisconsin especially encourages applications from agencies focusing on disaster preparedness, those working with older adult volunteers, and youth-led volunteer programs. The second opportunity is for grants to develop sustainable, skills-based board training programs. The goal is to increase the number of nonprofit board members from communities historically underrepresented on boards. With this support, Serve Wisconsin aims to help organizations more fully engage volunteers in community problem solving and ensure that diverse voices, particularly those from the communities being served, are represented in leadership roles. Both grant opportunities will reimburse eligible expenses through September 30th, 2025. Applicants are required to provide a dollar-to-dollar match, which can be met through external funding or in-kind contributions. Grant awards will be determined through a competitive process, evaluating innovation, project size and scope, and the organization's readiness to implement the proposed project. Applications for board training grants are due by November 8th. Volunteer engagement grants will be available on a rolling basis while funds remain. For more information and to apply, visit the Volunteer Generation Fund page on the Serve Wisconsin website, servewisconsin.wi.gov/volunteergenerationfund. The second annual Wisconsin Water and Soil Health, or WWASH, conference is set to take place December 17th and 18th at the Kalahari Resort and Conference Center in Wisconsin Dells. This year's conference promises to be even more impactful, bringing together experts, farmers, and conservationists to discuss the latest advancement in soil health and practices that promote water quality. Learn the latest in water quality and soil health practices, discover new resources, and network at the WWASH conference hosted by the UW-Madison Division of Extension. Keynote speakers announced are Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore, professor in the Department of Natural Resource Ecology and Management and co-director of Bioeconomy Institute at Iowa State University. Nick Gallette, Farmer Crop Consultant and CCA Conservationist of the Year, and Dor Kawani, Demonstration Farm Network Co-Project Manager, and Dr. Shalimar Armstrong, Environmental Soil Scientist and Associate Professor in the Department of Agronomy at Purdue University. Breakout sessions include insect pest, pollinators and predators, the multifaceted impacts of cover crops, edge of field practices, benefits, innovation, and practicality, building consistency in dairy forage programs using crop diversity, herbicide and weed fate in soil health systems, economic and water quality benefits of diversified cropping systems, and more. Registration is open. Early bird pricing and room blocks are available through November 16th at go.wisc.edu/WWASH. The latest winners in the Ithaca Football Booster Calendar Raffle are Saturday, Braden Freestone, Sunday, A.J. Fowle, and today's winner is Jeremiah Ringelstetter.